Remy, let's begin at the beginning with a basic what, why, where. First, tell us, what is Urban Folk Art Exploratory?
The Urban Folk Art Exploratory is a nonprofit organization that I founded in 2005. And our mission is to provide a voice to the hip hop community to activate social change through the arts. And so I started this nonprofit. It was birthed out of the relationship that I formed with the kids at the Boys and Girls Club on the south side of Kalamazoo. After a significant emotional event, my fiance was killed in a car accident. And I started to teach dance at the Boys and Girls Club. And I felt so inspired by the kids and their families. And it just birthed a life's work of advocacy and systems design work from that experience. And so I definitely understand the concept of making something that, you know, is negative, turning it into something that's, I'm not going to necessarily say positive, but I don't know, somehow I'm trying to think through the words, but it feels like there was something that, I don't know if advocacy and systems design work and identifying structural oppression is positive, but it's definitely a responsibility, and I'd like to use that word. So from my pain, a responsibility was birthed, you know, and enacted in me, and a social responsibility that was absent from my life prior to that experience happening. And I'm still actively committed to that responsibility.
So something of a legacy. We'll leave it at that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And why the hip hop community? What is it about that you wanted to connect this to?
So the hip hop community, I was raised by a beautiful Black mother who was extraordinarily conscious. I understood inherently, even in my early 20s, that Blackness was not synonymous with poverty. And just because my identity, the divine feminine Black woman, and all the things that we are and represent was such a, it was just a huge component of how I was reared, womanism. And so when I started to work at the Boys and Girls Club, what connected me to the kids and the families there was the stories that resonated through hip hop culture and that component of what the Black experience represented for our capacity to connect, our diaspora experience, and the dance, all the different elements of hip hop culture. I was very passionate about it, continue to be. I'm a hip hop head, and I was there to teach dance. And so it was a connector, and I just started to, at that point, and even prior to, just started to make some connections about what the hip hop community, what hip hop meant in the Black community, and our, and what did it reflect and represent as it relates to our sojourn here in America. And I was very proud of it. My mother was a retired military officer and an attorney, and my grandfather was in a segregated military, and his parents were sharecroppers. And my grandfather passed away in 2010 at the age of 89. And so when we talk about historically, who are Black people and what are Black people in America, our stories are, in terms of historical, you know, grievances that we have and the things that we talk about in hip hop culture and the thing, how we've responded to what America is and what has occurred as America has continued to evolve and develop. You know, I think Black people are amazing, and that is the facet of what our culture represents. And so I'd be remiss to not want to participate in that, feel ownership over it, and to protect it. So that's why.
And the social changes that you want to encourage, talk a little bit more about that. What changes would you like to see, and how do you hope to make them happen?
I think that there's a distinct difference between the hip-hop industry and hip-hop culture. And the hip-hop industry, unfortunately, we are not, Black people are not the beneficiaries of the culture that we've created and through the industry on the level that we produce. Mm-hmm. And it's hip hop is a multi-billion dollar industry, and it has varying aspects of what it represents. as it relates to industry and us being able to leverage our cultural capital, I feel as though that is a pathway that we can be ourselves in an unassimilated format. And so my desire is to leverage that same energy to create and design pathways for our participation in the economy in ways that we don't have to assimilate, that are reflective of what our culture represents. And so I want to create pathways and opportunities for that to happen. And to, I think that if we preserve hip hop and leverage the spirit under which, you know, hip hop was designed and created, that we can redesign. There's human centered design in that. We can identify social problems in our community. And again, our mission to provide a voice to the hip hop community to activate social change through the arts. And so the voice is like pathways to access. You know, that's the way that I view that. And so us constructing pathways to access for our people in various facets of industry, leveraging the tenets of and the principles and values under which hip hop was formed. I'm hoping that we can do that in neighborhoods where we live, the food industry ecosystem, through our art, through music, design, you know, design science, all the different layers, and even inform the institutions of our community that build the infrastructure of our daily existence. So that's what I mean by that.
And then let's look at where, because that's part of your story too, and actually part of the social change of going into a neighborhood and saving a building that may otherwise have turned to dust. So talk about where this is going to be.
Absolutely. It's in our neighborhoods. It's in, you know, communities that are plagued and riddled with environmental racism, you know, or where there are vacant parcels of property that, or improved properties that are functionally obsolete, like the property that we purchased on Mill Street. That was a land bank property. The properties that we have our farm sites on, those are vacant parcels of property that homes were demolished on, you know. So now we're repurposing those properties for neighborhood-based production, food production, a worker-owned cooperative, education space, a micro-nursery, and creating opportunities and pathways for our people to participate in the food industry ecosystem, redesigning, again, hip-hop, like leveraging, like Nas said in his song, Durex, making something out of nothing is God's work. You get nothing without struggling hard work. That's what I think hip-hop is, making something out of nothing. I think that being resourceful, like with nothing, like making it something, I think that I want to create pathways for people to do that. And that requires us. And so as it relates to social change, another facet of that is that requires us to vocalize, you know, clearly defined processes. Again, I did talk about that, about the clearly defined processes for access. You know, if these properties are vacant in our neighborhoods, why can't they be utilized for, you know, especially if they're land bank properties, why can't they be utilized for us to reimagine industry in all kinds of different ways? You know, where right now they're urban farms, but they could have been anything. You know, I think that, I hope that it inspires the community to reimagine all the things that can be. You know, these were just the choices that I made, you know, to create a creative co-working space and a art gallery and a small factory on 10 Mills and three agricultural production sites in the Edison neighborhood on Jackson, Washington, and Mill Street as well.
So talk a little bit more, and you've mentioned the Kalamazoo Land Bank. Talk a little bit more about their role in all of this. They're almost something like a partner with you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I have a really good relationship with Kalamazoo County Land Bank. I started my relationship with them because I learned about the Adopt-A-Lot program because I wanted to grow food. I wanted to teach my daughter, Tegan, how to grow her own food. I'm a single parent, and I wanted to equip my daughter and myself with the tools to be able to be self-sustaining. I looked online, and I saw that they have a program through the Kalamazoo County Land Bank to adopt property for $20 a year. And you can use it for proprietary use. You can grow on it and all the different things. And so I was like, oh, I'm for that. Like, let me go on here, come over here and pay this $20. And for an entire year, I can use this property for my own use and steward it. And so that's what I did. And then I realized that the property was an NFP2 property, which made it eligible to be purchased by a nonprofit organization. And so we purchased the property. That was a particular program that they had at the time. I don't know if it still exists or whatever, but it was an incentive program, I think through the state of Michigan. And then after that, I just kind of got the want to buy property bug after some more advocacy work that I was doing. And so then that, you know, I this is not my first rodeo with owning an art gallery. I had a previous art gallery business in Battle Creek, and I knew that my business didn't, it failed. And so I was like, I want to do this. I wanted to be in Kalamazoo in the first place, the first time. And I should have waited, and now I'm where I'm supposed to be. And that's why the opportunity is presented, because this is where I was supposed to be in the first place. And that is it. So here I am, and I have a property through the land bank as well.
And you mentioned your daughter and teaching her how to grow food. And you've referred to urban farming as rebellion, which I think is kind of delicious. So I thought maybe you could talk a little bit more also about Zoo City Farm and Food Network and how the two can occasionally overlap, in fact, are going to do so in a membership drive you have coming up.
Oh, yeah. The Zoo City Farm and Food Network is an industry association, local food policy council that is under the banner of the Urban Folk Art Exploratory. That work was birthed out of, you know, I started Tegan's Hopeful Storybook Onion Farm based on, you know, that $20 parcel that I told you about. And so I started that work, and I ultimately was offered a position at Kalamazoo Valley Community College to be their community farms program coordinator. And through that work, I did a lot of internal organizing and external organizing because it was an interinstitutional partnership in the city. I'm no longer there. And I still was doing that work prior to working at Valley, and it extended beyond that. But I had a different viewpoint after working within the context of the educational institution in that space. And I developed a pretty solid analysis about what was needed to navigate systems. And we had several different people that I recruited to participate in the program. We worked through a lot of different layers of organizing food systems and neighborhoods. And so that's where Zoo City was birthed from, that experience. I just come from the perspective that none of us by ourselves is better than all of us together. And so I knew that even though I had Tegan's Hopeful Storybook Garden Farm, which is a program under the Urban Folk Art Exploratory, that it was necessary for the different initiatives that were happening surrounding the food, the different sectors of the food industry ecosystem, for us to work together within the context of the system. Like, it was imperative. And I was really excited to work at Valley because I thought that that work could be done there, and because it's a public institution and that voice needs to be in a public institution, because like the public institutions are supposed to serve all of us, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that there are just some really pervasive systems and pathologies that are just not changing, you know, within the context of those systems. And so I had to organize outside of that. And that's what we're doing with Zoo City, trying to locate pathways for people to own land. 1.4% of farms in America are owned by Black people. And that's a travesty, because
1.4. Wow.
1.4%. And that's according to the most recent agricultural census. And, you know, that's violent. You know, that's violent as hell, considering we came to this country under the auspices of agrarian culture. We tended the land, you know, so it's just, that's, again, I can't justify that. You know, I don't think this country can justify that. And I also realized that the relationship that Black people have with the land is different than the relationship the white people have with the land. So that was something that I needed to be centered as well.
The membership drive, what does membership get you? How do you get involved? Is this going to happen on Mills, or?
It is. Yep. It's going to happen on Mill Street on June the 5th. and it's really exciting. There are varying layers of membership. We have a general membership that it goes from $100 general membership all the way up to $125,000 3-year Theory of Change membership, which we want to work with community partners that are institutions that want to look dialectically and do a theory of change about how we can work collaboratively to dismantle systems of injustice within the context of public institutions. And we have a very specific framework about what that looks like. And we want to leverage the supply chain that we've established and the framework that we've established through Zoo City to make that happen. If you look at our website, www.zoocityfood.org, you'll be able to see what the memberships are. You know, we have 5 different working groups. There's, like I said, we're a local food policy council and an industry association. One of the different layers of membership is a market membership where you get to come to the farmer's market and sell your products through our Zoo City Farm and Food Box. There's a worker-owned cooperative membership that you can buy into where you will collectively own a parcel of property, the one at 1316 Mills. We're continuing. We're still, these are all developing. We're new. And so we are just, we're finalizing paperwork and working through paperwork with the attorney so that everybody can be on, you know, the same page about the cooperative model that we're establishing with this work. So this is a lot of work. I mean, just listening to myself, I'm like, wow, this is like
time for a break, Remy.
I know. That's so much, right? So yeah, like it is time, you know. So that's what's happening. And yeah, so June 5th, come holler at us, come see us at 10 Mills. That's the day of the June Jubilee and the farmers market. So you'll be out and about already. So come and see us. And I'm really excited about what we're doing.
Well, there you go. And we'll link to that on the WMUK page as well. Well, thank you so much, Remy, for giving us a moment of your precious time.
You're so funny. Thank you.